When was the happiest time you were playing or being involved in rugby?
Probably playing youth rugby with my local club, just because I think, you know, you're playing carefree, no pressure. Very rarely got injured. I don't know what it is when you're younger, you don't really have injuries anyway. I like it.
Well,
it happened later on.
I like how we looked at you
then. Was that injury? Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got some great times, obviously, played for Wales and Ospreys and out in France, but I think, yeah, looking back, just carefree, like I said, you've got so much pressure on you. You know, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't change anything for the world, but that sort of added pressure is hard to deal with sometimes, isn't it? You know, and injuries as well, getting over that. So yeah, probably youth rugby, I'd say.
I would say probably last Six Nations, actually. It was our first campaign as a professional nation, and I think just to feel that we were being invested in and we could see the results straight away, we were actually winning. And I know that sounds funny, but yeah. Before that, playing in a Welsh jersey, there wasn't many games that we won. And if we had, they were very, very tight wins, but we were actually getting good performances. You're looking around, you're thinking, hang on a minute now, like, people are investing in us, they're interested. Our profile as a team went on social media, went up, there was people coming to our games. And I think the buzz around that was really, really positive. And then it was our World Cup year last year as well. So that coming through into World Cup, I just remember, like, we played against the Black Ferns in the quarterfinals, and there was like 16,000 people there, and we're facing the Haka, and I'm like, that was one of those moments where you're like,
there you go.
Oh crap, like, this is like, this is real.
Who was your biggest influence, like, growing up, like, positive or negative?
Yeah, good question. I think, you're welcome. For me, it was probably my PE teachers.
Okay.
So like going into secondary school, I was always very sporty. I wasn't actually very athletic, but I was try hard and I wanted to try every single sport possible. They were probably the teachers that believed in me the most, and they would always tell me, like, I'm not really sure what sport you're gonna do, but you're gonna make it in a sport and you're gonna be an international in a sport. And having that belief allowed me to have the belief in myself. And it never dwindled, to be honest. I always, like, I had a lot of people in school just kind of doubting me the whole way through.
Really?
Whether that be in football and different sports. Like, every Friday after school, I went to the boys' football training, because there was no girls' football training. And I stood in goals, and they just absolutely abused abused me every Friday. But I did it for 3 years. And,
was it?
Yeah, and I didn't stop going.
What kept you going? Sorry to interrupt.
I think I was very tunnel vision, and I was quite oblivious, to be honest. And I guess it's that naivety you have when you're young. But I was very oblivious to them, and all I cared about was, well, I think that I'm good at football, so I'm going to come to your football training. Like, it wasn't
Probably for me, Phil Steele, PE teacher again, back in school. Struggle a bit academically, as you know, dyslexic in school, and Phil was like, he knew that I was at my happiest when I was playing sport, so he'd pull me out of class, knew I was struggling, and I was more or less doing PE all day with him as a teacher, so and I knew I was excelling at rugby, so you probably owe Phil quite a lot, actually. If it wasn't for him, you know, identified that I loved playing sport, that's what made me really happy, I suppose, you know, and I was good at it, so I think Phil Steele for me.
I'd say PE teachers big time at school, because I played every single sport like you did. But then I'd probably say my dad would be the other one, obviously not to the level of you guys in sport, but I suppose in other parts of my life I'd say that'd probably be the biggest one. Just total belief that I'll just do anything.
Yeah.
He hasn't got to worry.
It's bad, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've got two young girls that are 10 and 12, and they would like, who would inspire them to play sport? And until recently, it's like, I guess it's going to be a PE teacher.
I find interesting, and I pose the question to people, it's quite, I only know it because my clubhouse is this place. It just so happens to be 47 seconds from the house. It's ideal. But the important thing is, I asked Bertie this before, I said, so where's your clubhouse?
Yeah.
What is it? What does it look like? It doesn't have to be a physical bricks and mortar place. It could be anywhere in the world. I asked someone the other day, and they said, oh, it's when I go with the Dawn Stalkers down at cold water swimming in the morning. That, for me, spot on. Amazing. So that's a question to you three, I guess, is where would your place be, if you even know where it is?
That's a
good question. Yeah. You don't have to come up with something for, you know, France's sake. But
maybe the most sand dunes for me.
Yeah.
Because I know that's probably done a lot of my hardest training behind closed doors when I was trying to make it as a professional rugby player. Now I go back there with the dogs and think, and I do have like sort of rekindle like, oh, you know, I remember coming down here 10 years ago trying to make it, and it does bring up good memories, actually, yeah.
What about you, Em?
Mine would probably be here, and I think that's because we lived in Dubai for 12 years, and I think the biggest thing about moving back, everyone said you're going to hate it, you have this amazing life in Dubai, but I think the biggest thing is the fact that you do have here, somewhere to come for a pint on a Friday, whether you're coming to train or whatever, and I think in Dubai we didn't have that. There wasn't really anywhere that you would go. It was so spread out, yeah, the community. So I think here, and then, yeah, swimming. I go cold water swimming.
Find yourself funny.
Not so.
Probably in physio room.
I know it sounds silly, but
spent a lot of time there
over the last sort of 8 months, and I guess like it's, no matter what mood I'm in, like it's always an accepting space to be in. So whether that be I'm really positive and I'm excited to smash my training, you know, the physios and the other injury girls are like, yeah, cool. But if I'm having a bad day and I just want to sit there and cry while they're giving me a massage, like it's also like, it's okay, we'll talk through this. Like, do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what headspace you're in that specific day, it's always welcoming and understanding.
What advice would you give your 12-year-old you?
Never stop being yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the things, again, I got bullied quite a lot in the first few years of secondary school, and then slowly started to realise that no matter what I did, the bullies were all going to find a reason to bully me.
Yeah, yeah.
People didn't like me then for it, and now I've found people who appreciate me more than anything for being that way. So it's just, I guess, it's about who you surround yourself with and that kind of thing.
God, I haven't learned that yet. That's amazing to articulate that. Like, that's brilliant.
I think mine would be something about how somebody's always got something going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just, you know, you get so into your own head about what's bothering you, and you forget that other people are all going through the same thing and nobody is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Instagram life is not real. And I think that's a big one, because I think, like you, bullying from school makes you think you've got to change, and you think, well, they've probably all got stuff going on as well.